The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby, sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug, and I love movies. This, of course, is Doug Loves Movies. My guests today are two returning champs and one of our favorites. They are Frank Castillo, Trey Crowder, and Vanessa Gonzalez. Hello, all.
Hello.
Hello.
Howdy, howdy. Glad to be here.
Without even being able to have facial cues, you all took turns saying hello, and I appreciate that. That's always a good sign. Let's meet you individually, though, and alphabetically by first name. Sorry, Vanessa. Our first champion I'd like to introduce today, won in San Diego, I think. Is that right, Frank Castillo?
Yeah, San Diego. And then also Frank Castillo.
Yes. Wait. Well, yeah, that was fun. Like, usually it was the end of a comedy show in Irvine, and we got people up out of the audience and played Last Person Standing, and Frank ended up winning. But like, normally when the comedian that was on the show with me plays against audience members, they usually end up being almost as bad as the audience members, sometimes worse. But Frank cleaned up that night. You're also a roast battle champ, Frank.
Yep.
So, you know.
I like being the champ, Doc.
Don't insult my guests today, please.
I won't. Sorry, I'm trying to take this hit without coughing too loud.
I gotta say, dude, like, that's the thing, is you're a roast battle champion, but that's not your, like, you don't go into situations and start insulting people. You're not an insult comic.
No, I tried to do my best to, like, it's like that's a skill set I have, you know what I mean?
And you know that the person's gonna, they know it's gonna be coming, so, like, you know, you get pretty mean and usually get away with it. People still get hurt. It's just the nature of it.
Well, yeah, I'm also like, I don't know. I also come from a place where, like, you know, you can just get punched in the face for saying the wrong thing. So I always try to keep that in the back of my mind, you know?
Right. That a good retort isn't as painful as a punch in the face.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get you. I hear you. our next champion joining us today, returning after the his win a few weeks ago in Los Angeles, was incredible. It's Trey Crowder. Hey, Trey.
Hey, Doug. Glad to be here. I don't know if I'd call it incredible. I kind of felt like there should have been an asterisk after it, maybe, because really what happened was Steve Agee ran out just before I did. You know what I mean? In
right. The game, well, that's, we were playing. You know, that's still like counts. How, well, would somebody that like wins the gold in a race go, yeah, but I just got there faster than the guy that was right there?
Well, I could. What's funny is I could have just said,
what's special about me?
Well, I could have just said nothing, you know, because Steve missed. You're like, yeah, that means Trey wins. But I was like, no, I'm going to legitimize this by doing one more, like naming one more answer, you know, just to show that I had one more. And then I was wrong, like confidently incorrect. So really put a nice bow on the big win there.
It's a very special win. And I'll always keep it in close to my heart. And thank you for returning. And this it's an exciting matchup today because, you know, we do have the two champions and then a third guest joining us. Trey, have you ever heard the expression two's company, Trey Crowder?
I get it. I thought of it. I think that works.
Anyway, making a triumphant return to the show after touring the globe.
Yeah.
With Chelsea Handler, it's Vanessa Gonzalez.
Hello. Hi. Have I never won? I guess I've never won. I thought I did.
Maybe never. I bet you have. I think because you've been asked to return to the very next episode before, especially like over That's Zoom true. During Pando, right? So that meant you won. The winner gets to come back right away, based on scheduling, of course. In the case of Frank and Trey, they both won a few weeks out, but, you know, are now back because I was able to get them today on a big NFL day. So if any of you are into the NFL, I apologize for cutting into that.
I am not.
Yeah. I don't think anybody is. Okay, so what's that, Frank?
I'm a huge NFL guy.
Yeah.
Really?
No.
I mean, I kind of am, but not any of my teams, you know, are long since out of it. So it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah. Some people dip when their team's done and others, you know, are just can't get enough of it and, you know, go all the way. And there's no team I'm rooting for other than Team Vanessa Gonzalez.
Hell yeah.
Today. On the show, have you done any, you know, have you been in the master pancaking business at all lately?
Yeah, we just, we did Nick Cage, Choose Your Own. It was really good.
So that's where Master Pancake, of course, Master Pancake Theater is a very funny, talented troupe that John Erler heads in Austin. And Vanessa is a frequent contributor. They just improvise jokes throughout a motion picture. But in this case, people brought in Nick Cage movies, and then people from the audience have to get up and defend their movie, or basically convince everybody that's the movie they're going to watch that night. So what did it come down to? Do you remember?
So there was a tie, and maybe you can help me remember the titles. One movie, we watched half of one and half of another. And the first movie was where Nick Cage had a really bad wig on, and he like kills everyone with a bat at the end.
Drive Angry?
Drive Angry. Was one.
Okay.
And then the other one, the guy from That Thing You Do is in it. One of the main guys. I don't remember. They were
Steve Zahn?
No, the main singer from That Thing You Do.
Oh yeah.
Jimmy.
He's handsome.
He's handsome.
I can't think of his name right now, but he's in a movie with Nick Cage. What are they doing in it?
So Nick Cage is like a drug dealer or like a bad guy, and
I'm not gonna be able to come up with this. It's like it's not addiction, but it's like it's just a very generic title, I think, if I'm not mistaken. Right. And I'm kind of a cagephile, so I've seen most of his movies, so this sounds like one that I didn't see.
Yeah, that John Cusack's in it too, and he's like a gangster. Yeah.
No.
Yes. It was really absurd.
I think it's starting to ring more bells. Not God of War.
No.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's something that ended up being, you know, didn't get a big release, that kind of thing. But yeah. I'm sure somebody will tell me, thanks to the internet. And thank you for being here, Vanessa. Before we play our games today, I'd like to visit Recommendation Nation. That's a segment on the show where I ask my guests to recommend a movie. But this month, there's a twist because it's January. I've been asking guests to name a resolution movie, which is a movie that you've never seen, but you should. You know, deep down, you hear about it all the time. People are always, you know, you practically feel like you've seen it. And maybe you'll even watch it this year. Frank, do you have one of those movies? Does a movie like that come to mind?
Yes. This may sound weird, but my wife loves theater stuff. So Memoirs of a Geisha is something people always told me to watch, and I never got a chance to. I think I'm finally going to watch it.
Interesting. That's a really good one. Like, I saw it. I can't say that I have memories of the geisha other than just kind of a tonal, you know, I just remember it being slow and pretty, you know, pretty to look at. But yeah, for some reason it didn't hook me, but also probably might have been too young for it at the time. Do you know how old that movie is?
I got like 15, 20 years.
What's that, Trey?
Huh? No, I don't know. I remember that movie. 15 years sounds about right to me, I think.
I swear there's like a fourth voice out there. That's like a fourth guest. It's a ghost or something. Does somebody have someone talking in the background?
Not I.
Interesting. I mean, I might be alone. Maybe I'm hearing things. Maybe I'm like Lydia Tarr. She like starts hearing things.
I did read that book, though. Memoirs of a Geisha. I remember that.
Oh, okay.
I kind of remember it. Yeah. Never saw the movie.
All right.
Pretty good book. What about,
do you have a movie that that's your resolution movie, Trey?
I thought this might be the thing again, because I remember my last episode, it was January, and at that one, I came up with Blue Velvet, and I was trying to think earlier, and I was like, I don't know, man. Like, so
apologies for asking that's all right. this question repeatedly.
No, that's okay. I'm sure I have a lot, but I can't.
Did you want to say Blue Velvet again? Did you watch it over the last?
No, I knew that was going to get asked too. No, I still I did not watch it yet. But I don't know, like The Bicycle Thief. How about that?
Oh, that's a good one.
I feel like it gets a really good one. Well, you see like lists online of like greatest movies of all time, and of course Citizen Kane and those are up there, and Godfather and all that. But that one's also always up there, and that's the one that I've always been like, I don't know about that one, and I've definitely never seen it. So maybe that.
Definitely give that a spin, Bicycle Thief.
Mm-hmm.
It's watching Bicycle Thief, you'll be like, oh, okay. I sort of get a lot of, it's been parodied a lot over the years that I didn't realize.
Oh, okay.
Or even, you know, stolen, so to speak, some of the imagery and themes. Vanessa, what's your... movie you gotta see?
I think I have to see The Godfather. I've never seen it.
That is a
sin?
That is a top shelf answer. No, I mean, it's just everybody's missed something that everybody else thinks they need to see, you know?
Yeah,
like, you know, the film snobs like go crazy for something like, you've never seen The Godfather, and then when you sit down and watch it, I think you'll find it interesting, but I don't think you'll be like, oh yeah, this is the best movie ever made.
I think the first two were what, like, amazing, and then the third one was kind of like not a letdown, but it was kind of
stupid.
That's what I hear
with the other two, really, but you know, that's always a risk when time's gone by and, you know, nobody's bringing new eyes to it. So it just sort of, the third one just didn't come together. But, you know, those first two Godfathers rely so much on like just getting charismatic movie star performances all around, you know, it made all those actors, and then, you know, reaffirmed how how great Brando is. So anyway, Godfather is definitely an excellent movie for you to. And then, of course, you haven't seen. It'd be funny if you're like, but I've seen Godfather too, and I thought,
yeah, I've seen all of them.
Yeah,
no.
Godfather 2 is like, I think it's better, but it's better because it's deeper and because it would be weird to watch it without having seen Godfather, because yeah. De Niro plays young Brando in Godfather 2. Like, it's kind of half prequel, half sequel, because it jumps back and forth in time. And it's a masterpiece. But anyway, but start baby steps. Watch The Godfather.
Okay.
And then, I mean, I know somebody who recently watched The Godfather and it didn't compel them to immediately watch Godfather 2, which, you know, that's what the hope would be. But I don't think that's what happens.
It's not like The Irishman.
Oh, God. See, why did you watch that?
See, I watched that because that's when everyone's like, you got to watch it. And then, you know, 5 hours later, it was.
Yeah. No, it's, they're much, much, you know, better in every way imaginable than The Irishman, in my opinion.
Okay.
The Irishman was just like more of the same, but not as good.
I still liked it. I watched it because of how long the movie was. Like, I heard how long it was and was like, oh, I kind of want to watch what this is about.
Yeah, I just, you know, it just had a lot of the same stuff that happens in all those kinds of movies. And, you know, Jimmy Hoffa, you know, okay, he disappeared. What happened to him? Nobody will ever know. Great. That's the end. Every time you introduce Jimmy Hoffa in something, it's like he's going to disappear and nobody has any answers.
But we kind of know.
We know that he was rubbed out or whatever.
Right.
But, you know, where was he rubbed? So that's the big question. And we got to take a break because we deserve it. And we will be right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are back, and the first game that I would like to play, a lot of podcasts have really long commercial breaks, but ours are quick. I have no idea how long that break was. I'd like to play a new game with the three of you all. It's called How Many Fingers Am I Holding Up? Now, I know, cameras are off. This is just audio. And the game is not just me asking you how many fingers I'm holding up. Fingers, I don't know if you've seen the movies in question, and I don't want to spoil anything for anybody who hasn't, but it's also kind of a good warning to know about if that kind of thing upsets you. But fingers are having a rough time in the cinema currently. So it made me come up with a game that hopefully all the movies involved are old enough and well known enough that no one's going to be like, how can you spoil the finger numbers of that particular movie? Because I'm going to name a film and an actor, and then you're going to tell me how many fingers they have at the end of that movie.
Wow.
All right.
And none I love of these, this.
And none of these are replaced, like they keep it on ice and they sew it back on. None of these are that. These are people who indeed lose their finger. They don't get a robot finger like they're at Star Wars or something. These are just real finger losses that have occurred in film. I will start. We're going to start with Frank, then go to Trey, then Vanessa. Frank will guess a number. If he's wrong, Trey will get a guess, then Vanessa. If nobody gets it, we'll move on to the next one. Ready, Frank?
Yep. Cool.
How many fingers does Christian Slater have at the end of Heathers?
Three. I mean,
you think he loses seven
fingers? If he loses three fingers, he has seven fingers.
That is incorrect. Hang on a second, I got a sound effect. Trey, how many fingers does he have at the end of Heathers?
I've seen Heathers, but I don't remember his finger count. So Frank said seven. I'll say nine. He loses one.
You really worked that out. That is correct. Nice. That is correct. He flips the bird at somebody, and that person proceeds to shoot his bird finger off with a gun. Spoiler. Spoiler on that. All right, Vanessa, you ready?
Yes.
Okay. How many fingers does Tom Hanks have at the end of Castaway?
Ten.
Ten fingers?
Right?
I mean, would this game wouldn't make any sense?
I know. I guess so.
Still at ten. You're correct. That is the correct answer.
I did it.
You did it. I tried to trick you. I tried to fool you.
Yeah. Didn't work. Like, no, he has all his fingers.
He fucked around with that ice skate so much. I was just like, God damn it, he's going to lose a finger.
Yeah.
And also just doing the dental work with the ice skate.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, don't even get me started about Castaway. Also, a lot of people don't know this. Two words, cast away. A lot of people think it's Castaway, but it's two words.
Two words. Yeah,
you sound like you don't believe me, Vanessa.
No, I believe it. I'm writing it down for future reference.
I will also write this down. Vanessa's two words also. Vanessa.
That's right.
That'd be fun. That'd be fun to name your baby. Not I'm not saying you, but I mean in general, somebody taking a classic name like Vanessa and naming the baby first name Va, second name Nessa. So then force everybody to say first and middle name every time they don't even know they're doing it.
Just Va.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Frank, you ready?
Yes.
Did you see Castaway?
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree with me that he has all his fingers?
He does. There was I remember they did a commercial afterwards, and it was like making fun of the last scene where he returns the box, and he's just like, mm-hmm. what's in it? And it's like, oh, seeds, a water purifier, like a satellite phone, and a solar panel to recharge things. You know, just camping gear.
Yes, I seem to recall something like that.
Was
happening.
That a Super Bowl commercial or something? Yeah, I remember that.
So
funny. Yeah, that sounds right. Oh boy, speaking of, you know, I don't know why it's so funny how sometimes somebody, like in this case Henry Winkler, will tweet something, and then I can't figure out how to follow the story. I can't figure out where this came from, or maybe he really did just say this out of the blue, but he's like, FedEx is not honest or something like that. You know?
Oh, what happened?
Yeah. And it's like, what happened with Henry Winkler and FedEx?
Right.
But it's just, that's the first tweet. That's his first thought on the subject. There's no thread. He's not responding to anything. It's just FedEx, man. Like he's just, you know, FedEx is not an honest company or something like that. Just something very, you know, where FedEx is going to go, Henry Winkler, come on.
What's going on?
What are you doing to us? So I guess we'll hear more about it. This episode's coming out later tonight. So if you're hearing this, there may be more to the story. I'm sorry to have whet your appetite.
Yeah.
But
suspense is killing me.
The reason I thought of it is because FedEx and Tom Hanks, because Tom Hanks and Henry Winkler are two of the, you know, quote unquote, most beloved figures in Hollywood. Right. But they allegedly, not allegedly, it feels pretty legit, don't like each other.
Those two guys don't, you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Right.
What's the beef there?
Nobody would have beef with that.
Tom Hanks?
Tom Hanks and Henry Winkler.
Really?
You don't know this story? You don't know this? Henry Winkler was the director. You know, he directed a few films, but he's the director on Turner and Hooch.
Uh-huh.
And Hooch wanted him fired, but Tom Hanks stood up for him. he stood up for him at first, but then eventually Tom Hanks had to go with Hooch. No, the story is Tom Hanks. And Tom Hanks was like, you know, just brand new movie star. I think he'd been like the lead in three or four, but they were all hits or whatever. So like Bachelor Party, Splash, and then whatever came before Turner and Hooch. Probably Big, I would think, or something. But anyway, they just didn't get along as director and actor. And so I guess Tom Hanks like had him pushed out. But neither one of them really talks about it that much. But somebody asked Henry Winkler about him recently. And Henry Winkler's answer was just kind of like not friendly. It was,
maybe FedEx is code for Tom Hanks.
Yeah, because of Castaway. I get
right. Oh my God, we've cracked it. Yeah. That's amazing. I wish I could give you points for that, Vanessa, but this isn't at midnight.
Right.
Frank.
Sorry, I'm like so fascinated with his beef now.
Right?
Yeah.
And the movie came out and it's okay, I guess, but like, you know, it wasn't like, if it turned out to be a masterpiece, then like you'd go, okay, Tom Hanks, maybe Henry Winkler wasn't the right man for the job. But I think Henry would have done just as good a job as whoever his replacement was. But, you know, those things happen. I can't really say that. That's probably why the two of them aren't that vocal about it, is because it's probably just more like, you know, how you've had somebody that like fired you from a job and you don't necessarily hate them for it, but you also, you know, have nothing nice to say about them.
Yeah, I feel it.
Yeah.
You know, and they're both so nice and friendly when they appear on talk shows and stuff. They're not going to sit around griping about each other. It's worked out okay for both of them, was what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
If one of them's career had ended right there,
right,
that would have been different. Okay, Frank, here we go. The actor is Christian Bale, and the movie is The Prestige. How many fingers does he have at the end?
Christian Bale and The Prestige. He has 8 fingers left.
That is correct.
Wow.
You a fan of that movie?
Yeah, come on, dog. His twins got to cut off the other two.
Yes, twins got to cut him off so that they can pull
off. Technically, they lost 4 fingers.
Yeah, two of them did. Yeah, but he still has, Christian has 8, that was a perfect answer. Now we have at this point it's a 3-way tie. It's very exciting. Trey,
mm-hmm.
What do you think of this one? How many fingers does Robert Downey Jr. have at the end of Kiss Kiss Bang Bang?
I had my rewatched that movie with my wife like within the past year, and I'm not attentive to fingers. I'm finding out as I watch movies. This is
you're more of a foot guy.
If it was toes, I'd be all over it. But
right?
Yeah,
Big Lebowski, 9 toes.
Yeah, I'm gonna say 9 again.
That is correct.
Yeah, right.
Hey.
You're no expert, but you're a good guesser.
That is
the correct answer, because he loses a finger and they try to hang on to it to sew it back on, and then a dog eats it.
Right. Yep.
Classic.
I remember that.
Yeah, so much fun. All right, Vanessa, this is getting pretty intense here. How many fingers does Holly Hunter have at the end of the piano?
Damn it, I haven't seen it. I saw the others, all the others except this one. I'm gonna just shoot a shot. I'm gonna say six.
I don't know why I'm laughing at that, but that's not correct.
Damn it.
Yeah, but still made me laugh. What do you think, Frank?
You'll have to say the question again.
Okay, Stoney. the movie The Piano, I'm sure you've never heard of it. Stars Holly Hunter. And how many fingers does she have at the end?
I'm going to guess five. I'm going to say she loses a hand.
That's a good guess.
Yeah, I wish. I wish it was a whole hand. It's weird. Like, when people lose hands in movies, that like Star Wars, they get sewn back on, you know? But anyway, Trey, what do you think it is?
Yeah, I haven't seen this either. Losing one or more fingers would be a big deal if you play the piano. Is that like the... So what's going on here? That's the big conflict is her finger situation.
It'd be funny if that character just enjoyed piano. That's right. Why it was called that.
Yeah.
wouldn't be too much of a loss.
So I was going to just guess 10, but now I'm stuck on this not playing piano thing. So I'll say 8.
Well, I got that one past everybody, but of course, because none of you have seen it, it's, you know,
I'll guess
old
nine
ass movie.
Fingers.
It's an old ass movie, but yeah, it's it is nine. She
loses
one
finger, which is bad for her piano playing, especially because she's deaf. It's also bad for her sign language, I guess. Okay, so. The way this shakes out, according to my notes here, means that Trey is the winner of how many fingers am I holding up? Congratulations, Trey.
Yeah, did it without ever knowing an actual answer the whole time, but I'll take it.
Yeah, no, it's guesswork, you know, not here on Douglas Movies, knowledge is king, but guesswork is queen. And, you know, it's all about taking down the patriarchy.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing you win, Trey, is the opportunity to go first in our next game, which in the case of this particular game does give you a slight advantage if it comes down to a tie. But I will explain further after these messages. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Fail Better, David Duchovny's new podcast with Lemonada Media. On Fail Better, David, who has experienced both low and high-profile failures throughout his life, explores the vast world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives. Each week, he'll chat with guests like Ben Stiller, Bette Midler, and more about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, he hopes listeners can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out now wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back and ready for an exciting conclusion to our games today. Our winner of the last game, Trey, gets to go first in a game I call Weird Algorithm. I think one or two of you may have played this before. Here's how it works. IMDb, the Internet Movie Database, has a weird algorithm where they... you know, just sort of based on what people are typing into their search engine, they just decide who is popular and who is not. Yeah, if this was a TV game show or we had any kind of budget for it, the song Popular from Wicked would come on to introduce this game. because it really is not knowing movie trivia as much as knowing, you know, who might be popular right now. Because I'll name a movie and then we'll go down the line. We'll reverse the order. So it'll go Trey and then Frank and then Vanessa. And so Trey will be up first in the first round and then we'll rotate so everyone will get a chance to go first. Plus, you can share your answer in this game. In other words, you could say the same answer as somebody else, but points-wise, you know, it might not be the strategic thing to do. Because I'm going to name a movie, and then Trey is going to tell me who in that movie he thinks might be the most popular actor or actress based on the algorithm. Because you can take any cast list and just refine the list to, instead of credits order, in order of their popularity at that moment. It changes from day to day. I'll even tell you some of the actors that are in the movie. If you can't think of one of the actors, but you know, you think that might be the one, I'll try to help you come up with the name of that actor. It really is more just about who is ultimately the savviest at guessing who these people might be. The first film, Trey, is a motion picture made by the Coen brothers that I watched several times, not to conclusion, just to another point in the film before falling asleep. Okay. I think this is about a year ago. It's called The Tragedy of Macbeth. Did you see it?
No. No, I didn't watch that one.
Yeah,
wasn't that one of the Coen brothers, or that was both of them?
Yeah, yeah, right, right. One of them went off rogue and made one by himself, and the other one even wrote a scathing review of it as a joke.
Oh wow!
But it's so mean. It's so mean, the review, that I'm like, well, there's some truth in there. So it's pretty cool. Anyway, Tragedy of Macbeth starred Denzel, Francis McDormand, Brendan Gleeson, Corey Hawkins was in it, Stephen Root, Harry Melling, a bunch of British people, I think. I think it was a lot of British people, a lot of people of the UK. So what do you think, Trey? Out of all those people, who do you think? I mean, don't even have to lock in your answer until you hear what the other people have to say. But what's your first instinct here?
I mean, having not seen it, the only one I remembered was Denzel. And I mean, you know, I know he's been around a minute, but he's still like one of the biggest stars out there. So I'm going to go with Denzel.
Right. He's there's a short list of people where you can just say what their first name.
Right.
Denzel, you know,
Washington.
Because he's not like Cher Madonna, who went by Denzel for a long time.
Right.
He didn't ever say, just call me Denzel, but we can just do that with him. It's pretty remarkable achievement. Okay, what do you think, Frank?
Can you repeat the question?
Did you see the movie?
Oh, the Macbeth? No.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't, but I know it was on Apple TV, and I saw it. Heard good things.
Right? Cinematography, I think, got nominated for an Oscar. It's in black and white, so it does look kind of cool, but, you know, condense it to like 3 or 4 minutes, and maybe I'd be able to get through it.
You got to really like Shakespeare and be a theater nerd.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't get why Shakespeare takes so much landscape of American or worldwide theater.
Because he was the best?
All right.
Yeah, that, I think the question mark at the end really sold it.
Yeah.
The best? You know, he's just like, yeah, it was great, and we keep redoing all of his plays, but they're still just going to remain the same plays, and lots of new ones are being written. So let's do those. Okay. So this movie that you didn't see stars Denzel, of course. And that's who Trey picked, and you could as well if you want, if you feel it's a safe pick. Francis McDormand, Brendan Gleeson, Corey Hawkins, anybody, any of those, or anybody else?
Francis McDormand.
Any British actor that's ever been in Game of Thrones, if you can think of their name, might be a good one.
Oh. Shit. Yeah, can I go Francis McDormand?
Yeah, you can. What about you, Vanessa? What are you thinking?
Did we say Kerry Washington's in there?
Kerry Washington, no, Denzel Washington.
Denzel, but not Kerry Washington.
That's why I kept saying Denzel. Does Denzel? Didn't want to confuse you. No, Kerry's not in it, but that would have been an excellent addition, I think. You know, Corey Hawkins was he played Dre in
Whatchacallit,
Straight Outta Compton. And was he Dre? Yeah. And who else did I say? Oh, Harry Melling was in Queen's Gambit with Anya Taylor-Joy.
Oh, yes. I'm going to go with Harry.
You like Harry?
Mm-hmm.
You think he's popular?
I think so.
Okay. Anybody want to change their answer, or are we going to lock them in?
I think I'm good.
Trey is sticking with Denzel. Frank likes McDormand. And Vanessa is going with the great Harry Melling, who also we know from, he's Dudley in the Harry Potter series. And I think he's also in something else new now, too.
Yeah, the Pale Blue Eye with Christian Bale. He's
with Christian Bale. That is correct. He's in that. And he is number one on the charts. Vanessa, congratulations. You sniffed it out. Number two is Brendan Gleeson. I thought somebody would remember that he's hot right now in awards season, going to get nominated for an Oscar on Tuesday. So he's number two. He got 2 points. And then number three is Denzel. He's number three in the cast currently. And so that was worth 1 point for Trey. Frank, you don't have any points yet, but it's never too late to get on the board and win this thing. And the second round starts with you, Frank. The film, you may or may not have seen it, I don't know. You can tell me, is Promising Young Woman. You seen it? Frank?
Never. Oh, are you breaking up? Oh, sorry.
Never seen it. Okay.
Never.
All right. It stars Carey Mulligan is the, I assume, the titular character. And then we got Bo Burnham, Allison Brie, Adam Brody, Sam Richardson, Molly Shannon, Christopher Mintz-Plasse, Connie Britton. Lots of people in that movie.
I pick Allison Brie.
You like Allison Brie for it?
Mm-hmm.
All right. What do you think, Vanessa?
Oh, I'm going to go with Bo Burnham.
He's hot, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what he's working on right now, but, you know, his thing he made over the pandemic won every award that the thing you make during the pandemic can win. And then some. Mm-hmm. What are you working with, Trey? What do you think?
Did you say Carey Mulligan?
She's the lead. Yeah, she was nominated for Best Actress for it, and currently she's getting some award attention for a movie called She Said.
Okay. Well, I'll go with her.
Yeah, you like Carey Mulligan?
Yes.
All right. So, Frank went Allison Brie, and Trey went Carey Mulligan, and Vanessa, you sticking with your first instinct, Bo Burnham?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you got burned on that one.
Oh,
because he didn't make the top three. Plus, I fooled everybody again because I didn't mention who was number one in case anybody watched this movie and then remembered she was in it. The great Jennifer Coolidge is in this movie.
That's
and she's number
right.
one. She's an awards machine right now, giving great speeches. But number two is Allison Brie, so that's worth 2 points for Frank. And number three was Carey Mulligan, so that's all worth one more point for Trey. So it's, you know, close. We got a close game. Vanessa has 3, Trey has 2, and Frank has 2. And Vanessa, you got to go first.
Yeah.
On this one.
I'm ready.
Okay. Hot off the presses. Movie that came out on Netflix for a week. Then it went, in theaters for a week. Then now it's been on Netflix ever since. Some people think they lost a lot of money by doing it that way. But I enjoyed it because I got to see it on the big screen and the small within a week of each other. It's Knives Out sequel called Glass of a Knives Out Mystery with Daniel Craig, Janelle Monáe, Ed Norton, Kate Hudson, Dave Bautista, Catherine Hahn. Am I leaving out someone who's in the top 3? Vanessa.
Damn it.
Somebody. Did you see it?
Yeah, but this is hard because they're all like big.
Remember when Ethan Hawke shows up in and you're like, okay, he's a character that's going to be.
Yeah.
And it's like, what happened to Ethan Hawke? He could just pop up somewhere.
Cameo.
Is he disguised as a guy walking around on the beach just eating cereal? Is that him?
Yeah. Is it Ethan Hawke? Is he the number one, even though he has one line in this movie?
Well, he goes around and injects everybody or tests them or something. I guess he injects them with something and so they can be safe and healthy on the rich man's island. But we'll circle back to you. But for now, your guess is a brief appearance by Ethan Hawke.
No. I don't want that to be my final answer. Can I change or no? Yeah, is it too late?
No, it's never too late.
Okay, I'm going to say final answer is Kate Hudson.
Oh, you like Kate Hudson? Okay, you don't have to do final answer yet. We haven't even got answers out of these other two yet. So
okay, loose final answer.
You're good. Yeah, you're good. She likes Kate. Trey, who do you like?
I'll go a little bit out of the box, maybe. Because I know he's got another new movie coming out right now. I don't think it's like a big blockbuster, but still, I'll say Bautista, Dave Bautista.
Okay, yeah, he's got the new Shyamalan movie. Where somebody shows up and knocks on your door and says, if you don't kill your brother, if you don't kill somebody, then lots of people are going to die. And it's just like, I'm already irritated. You know what I mean? Just, if that sort of thing entertains you, just go to an escape room where death is a possibility and have fun.
Right.
Have a good time.
It's a remake of a book, or not a remake, but it's a.
They're making that book into a movie again. but yeah, that makes sense. Shyamalan probably got his hands on a book that has a good twist at the end and went, this is what I'll do.
Yeah.
Because I'm Twist Man. But I already don't like the initial premise. I don't know. Maybe I'll see it, but I'm just already just annoyed by it that it's, like. I just don't like things where it's somebody shows up and says,
Well, I mean,
if it's got action and stuff, but it doesn't look like it has action. It looks like it's more meditative. Like they show up and say, it's like men sitting around in a room staring at each other intensely.
I feel like if that was proposed to anyone, everyone would just pick somebody. Would it be hard? I'm picking a brother. I have a lot of brothers to spare.
Okay, so Trey's got Bautista. Vanessa's first salvo is for Kate Hudson. And Frank, who are you thinking about as the most popular person in the cast right now, according to people who type into search engines?
That's tough because it's like, Catherine Hahn's in it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
she's got that series coming out
all about Disney. Agatha the Witch.
Yeah, but Janelle Monáe's not doing anything, and neither is Kate Hudson, if I'm correct, right?
Not doing anything.
Like, I don't think they have any big movies coming out. Same thing with Daniel Craig. This was
in this big movie that's out.
Yeah, but I feel like the things that make them popular are like back-to-back things, right, on the IMDb?
Yeah, or just who, it's the idea of figuring out who's more popular than the others right in this moment. Because obviously when the movie came out, Daniel Craig is probably higher on the list.
Can you pick Daniel Craig?
Yeah, of course.
Pick Daniel Craig.
All right. All right. So Daniel Craig is Frank's choice, who I enjoyed in the film very much. I'm super on board with the idea of more Benoit Blanc movies. Mm-hmm. And Vanessa's going with Kate Hudson, who really nails what could have been a super annoying character.
Yeah.
She's so good. And Bautista, he's like, you know, I wish he wasn't in this Knock at the Door movie because it just seems silly, but maybe I'll just go and pretend Drax, and I'll just think it's Drax that shows up at this house.
Yeah.
Maybe I can get some friend of mine to make a version where it's Drax, where he looks like Drax, but the story, everything else is the same. Because then it would make more sense to me, because Drax like seems like very easily persuaded to do things and to think certain ways. Like, that's sort of why he comes off sometimes as racist or sexist or homophobic, I think, is because the last person he talked to was one of those things. And it just stuck for a second. Then he explained it to him and he moves on.
Drax?
Yeah.
Drax, yeah. Not Dave Bautista himself.
Drax was just like, you know, autistic.
I mean, there's something wrong with Drax for sure. I don't know. I don't know if he's on the spectrum or if he's just, been hit in the head too many times.
Or it's just how those aliens are. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
The who?
Not to be speciesist. Those aliens, the type of alien he is. You know what I mean?
No, with that accent, it just, I can't agree with whatever he said.
And just. Whatever planet he's Drax is from,
right?
It's weird when he says it that way.
Yeah, that's my curse, man.
Yeah, don't. If this comes up in a debate, just be quiet, Trey.
Yeah. Never talk about where people.
You can't
are
really talk about aliens in that accent. And not
yeah, I know.
Wild.
Whole list of subjects really, I need to steer away from.
But that one is so innocent, you know, when looked at it one way, like right. Space aliens, you just have to say space first.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then you should be okay. All right, so Trey's going Bautista. All right, well, these results are going to shock everybody, because Daniel Craig came in fourth. So there's no points for him.
Yeah.
Bautista right behind that in fifth, so no points for him.
Whoa.
The top three were all women who have all gotten a tremendous boost, I think, from not only Knives Out, but also maybe some other recent events. But number three was Janelle Monáe. Because she's, maybe going to get an Oscar nomination, but also just everybody's just pretty impressed with her in Knives Out, in Glass Onion. She's got there's a lot of layers to her onion in that movie. And then number two is the one of the characters that you're like, well, I thought this was an all-star cast. Who's this lady? Jessica Henwick. So people are probably typing her name in going, who is this Jessica Henwick when they watch that movie? You know what I mean? She's the one with the like the sort of brunette that's running around, and you never really get too good of a handle on her. And then Bautista's girl is number one.
What?
The movie Madeline Klein is her name.
Oh yeah, I'm about to look her up right now.
Yeah, and she got a lot of publicity after the fact that people were confusing her with Frances. People thought Florence Pugh was in Glass Onion because she looks, they think she looks like Florence Pugh. I never for once watching Glass Onion thought, is that Florence Pugh? But
yeah.
For some reason, that's something people see. So that's why she's been searched a lot, I think. That's my theory. But
it does look like Florence Pugh. That's so that's so funny.
Well, congratulations, Vanessa. You're our winner today.
Yay!
Damn it!
Woo, woo, woo.
Now!
Come back as soon as you want. And the other two guys can come back in a few weeks. Whenever. But let's get your plugs first. Vanessa Gonzalez. Vanessa.
Vanessa
socials.
Yeah, well, now it's Vanessa G Comedy. I changed.
You got rid of Vanessa?
Yeah, because it was too hard for people to find.
No, smart. I was trying to help you out by reminding people, but now I can just say Vanessa
G Comedy.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. On Instagram, VanessaComedy.com on the website. I have a podcast called I'm Not Busy, and I'll be at Sketchfest on February 3rd.
San Francisco Sketchfest.
Yeah,
and, San Francisco. Yeah, say hello to the Pancakers for me.
Will do.
When you see them, I lost all of their numbers in a flood. when people say hi for me to somebody, that's just like, how lazy is that? Like, fucking text them. But then that starts a conversation. Them. That starts a conversation, whereas I'd rather have the two of you have a nice conversation about me when I'm not there. Like, you know, Doug says hi. Oh, great. Well, tell him I say hi back. But then you don't even know who's going to talk to him first.
Right.
Are you okay, Frank?
What? No, I was saying, sorry, I'm Rick. It's very true. It's like the idea. Yeah, you're right. You know, because I tell people that I'm like, tell them I said hi, you know?
Yeah. It's just fun. You just want to get people talking.
Yeah, get them talking.
What do you got to promote, Frank? What's going on?
I just Peaked podcast. Then my other one, Masonic Smoker podcast. And I'm at the Comedy Store doing stand up. Being goofy, smoking weed, having fun.
I love it. Thank you for being there. And Trey Crowder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just Trey Crowder on all the socials and TreyCrowder.com for my tour dates. It's TRAE Crowder. I've also got a podcast with Corey Forrester, who also has the same dumb accent I do. And we talk about fancy people stuff. It's called Putting On Airs. So, yeah, I'll be in Atlanta and then 3 dates in Florida this weekend. So, yeah, come and see me.
Right on. Trey and Corey both have been on guests on Wide World of Dougs. We had fun conversations on that show with both of them about their names. My plugs include Doug Loves Movies returning to Sketchfest this Saturday, January 28th in San Francisco at the Gateway Theater at 4:20. And we'll be back in L.A. at the Dynasty Typewriter at the Hayworth Theater on Sunday, February 5th at 4:20. It's a Sunday between there's no football. Maybe there's like the Pro Bowl or something, but I think that's on Saturday. Anyway, it's the week before the Super Bowl, but it won't get in the way if you're an NFL person. DougLovesMovies.com for all of my dates, including Seattle this summer. I got to make good from last year that I'm excited to do in Seattle this summer. Thank you once again to all of my guests, Frank Castillo, Trey Crowder, and Vanessa with a V.
Yeah.
Forget that other thing I said. Gonzalez. As always, this is a short one, Ryan. Get ready. Yeah, so would I.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, 'cause Doug loves.